If you would, turn with me to 3 John. That's where the text of our lesson is coming from. We'll be looking at three individuals that are mentioned in the epistle of 3 John. We know one by reputation, but the other two are really pretty good examples that we can actually follow. Three men of 3 John. The letter is written to one named Gaius. If you would, let's begin reading here in the first 4 verses. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's probably one of the highest compliments that you can be paid as a Christian. To be known as one that walks in truth. To have an inspired writer bless you in prosperity, both physically and spiritually. Gaius was a good example to follow. This letter was written to him, and it needed to be shared with all of those that were in his presence. But we also know about Diotrephes, and then there's another man named Demetrius. And we're going to look at all three of these and what this short letter has to say about them. We need to focus on the effect that they had on the congregation in which they were members. They all had an effect. We all have an effect on one another. And we need to understand if it's a good or if it's a bad effect, positive or negative, however you want to look at it. Our demeanor, our attitude, everything that we say and everything that we do, people see it and hear it, and we need to understand that it does have an effect on those around us. So we'll look at their influence and make some applications to ourselves as well. So the first person this morning is Gaius, the man who would prosper. A lot of people don't like to think about prospering physically, monetarily, in a worldly manner, but we do need to prosper, do we not? We all need to have that ability to support ourselves, support our families, help with others as well. Well, Paul told us not to steal anymore, but to work so that we might have something set aside to help those that are in need. So we need to be able to prosper physically, but we also need to prosper spiritually. We need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. So we need to grow spiritually as well. So he's using the term prosper spiritually. And that there's no shame in that. So first of all, John prayed that Gaius would prosper both physically and spiritually. We look at verse 3, for he says, I rejoice greatly when brethren have testified that the truth is in you, just as you walk in truth. Verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. But also, we'd like to look at Psalm chapter 1. God has always wanted his people to prosper, not to the point of being in excess, because we know that power corrupts, money corrupts, but he wants us to be able to use these things in a way that glorifies his name. Beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We need to prosper, don't we? We need to have these blessings in our lives so that we can share them with others, so that we can do good for others, so that we can glorify God's name, because that's the reason we do these things. There's a lot of times people ask you for things and I just have a bad feeling about it. I don't trust them. When I was preaching at Holcomb City, people would come and ask for money all the time. But when you smell the liquor and the cigarettes on their breath, it's hard to give them anything because you're enabling them to do things. But there are times when people come to you and they look like that they are sincere, that they really need help, and then that's when we offer the help. That's when we do for them what we can. But if we're not prospering, we can't do anything for them. So we need to prosper, and we need to do what God has intended for us to do. But John also rejoiced for Gaius walking in the truth. Well, we've already read verses 3 and 4 a couple of times, so we'll bypass that. But turn to Psalm 119 and verse 11. This is one of those memory verses, but I want to look at it for just a moment because it says something that we need to strive to do in our lives. Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And we talked in class this morning about sin, about how people have minimized sin, made it politically correct, made it acceptable and tolerable. And God is not satisfied with that. He is angry with that. But if people would take the Word of God and put it in their hearts, people say that. I've invited Jesus into my heart. But there's been no change in their lives. When you put the Word of God, when you put the instruction of God in your heart, you will want to live and abide by it. So when people say, well, it's okay if I skip an assembly every now and then. But the Hebrew letter says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the custom of some. Because they lose that exhortation. They lose that benefit of worship and growing in faith. But they say it's okay. But they don't know that it's okay because they don't know what they're missing. They don't understand what they're missing. We talk about so many different things that so many people have added to religion because they haven't hid the Word of God in their heart. They haven't laid it up in their heart. They don't see it as important instruction so that we can actually worship God in spirit and in truth. Am I talking in circles or does that make sense? Because the world will argue with that very point. Why do we study Bibles? Why do we have Bible class? Is it for entertainment? Or is it for edification? Why do we assemble? Is it to watch a movie on this screen?
Iron sharpens iron, just to help each other grow.
Help each other grow. Encourage us. Make us stronger in our faith. And that's what we're doing. I pray that's what we're doing. Because we're using the Word of God so that we do not sin against Him. So that we are not politically correct against God. So that we do what He wants. You know, the one thing about Jesus, John the Baptist, Paul, all these guys, they were not afraid to speak the truth when the truth needed to be spoken. They were not afraid to say that you're in sin when they were living in sin. You know, John the Baptist, I got to admire him because when he stood up against King Herod, he said, "You shouldn't have your brother's wife." He called him an adulterer right to his face. That's what got him beheaded because his wife didn't like that. But, you know, it is what it is. You have to hide the Word of God in your heart. You have to lay it up within you so that you will not sin against God. What's the big deal about sin? Sin is punishable by death. The second death. That burning eternity separated from God. That's why we don't want to sin against God. So Gaius, John commended Gaius for his hospitality and support of faithful preachers who go out and say these messages so that people might hear, sowing the seed of the kingdom, if you will. If you would, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Listen to what Paul says about the church at Philippi here. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things that you sent, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Gaius followed suit with the Philippian church. He supported people that were teaching the truth for their necessities, for their means of making a living, so that they could go out and preach and teach and minister to people all day long instead of having to work a secular job and then turn around and work a spiritual job. Does that make sense? I have had people tell me that preachers should not be paid. This is how we make a living. It's not for making a living, but it's how we're supported, right? Others have told me that whatever a preacher gets paid should be turned around and put back into some sort of church work. Again, that doesn't meet necessities. Paul said that the church of Philippi helped him meet necessities. Necessities, paying the bills, putting groceries on the table, paying your mortgage, your car, whatever. Look at what this man did. He was supporting people preaching the truth. Faithful men that have gone out. He's being praised for this. The church at Philippi was being praised for this. We have done the same thing here. We are being praised by God for this. Here's a man that has righteous works. Here's a man that John said needs to prosper because he is continuing the work. He is involved in the work. He's sending men out for the work. Now then, Diotrephes. I think everybody here knows about Diotrephes. But if you will turn back to 3 John, we need to read a little bit about him just to make sure that we get this right. Diotrephes, the man who loves the preeminence. He was a self-promoter. Let's look at verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to his mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. He said in one breath that he has condemned Diotrephes for what he's doing, and that he is evil. When you think about preeminence, this is the one that puts himself above others. What does that sound like?
Pride. Exaltation.
A priesthood. The priests are above the people in their church. They have to come to him for forgiveness of sins. Now, I'm talking about the Catholic priesthood. You have to go to him. You have to pray through Mary. We talked about that in class this morning. All these things. This guy wants to run the show. He wants to be in charge. He says who you can be friends with and who you can't be friends with. He says that I'm not going to accept John, but John's an inspired writer. I think I'd rather be in the company of John than Diotrephes. He has no right to say who can and cannot be in the church. He has no right to do what he's doing. And it turns around and you think about what's being said and what's being done. There are people in churches today who love that preeminent spot. There are people in a church today that are elders that are not qualified for being elders. But they have popularity. And popularity doesn't lead to salvation. Popularity is not a qualification of an elder. But yet they put themselves there, and what they've done is they've corrupted an eldership. What they have done is weakened a church. What they have done is let sin in the door because they're not equipped to combat it. What they've done is let people continue in sin, our members slip away, and they've done nothing about it. And that's not what the charge of an elder is. Demetrius was trying to take that authority. Authority God did not give him. Diocles, pardon me. We'll get to Demetrius in a minute. Diocles was a self-promoter. He was insubordinate. Again, look in 3 John verse 10. Therefore, when I come, I'll call to his mind his deeds which he has done, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, but forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Prating against the apostles? Malicious words? Does that sound like someone that has love in their heart for their fellow man, for their brethren? Again, he's weaving his little web. He's trying to divide the church. He's trying to cut certain people out. He's trying to do what he wants and not what God wants. We are a congregation here that is doing what God wants. We're not trying to cut anybody out. We're not trying to tell anybody to stay away. We're trying to teach people that the Word of God is what guides us, and if we follow it, then we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God. Christ is our mediator, but outside of that, when people come in and they don't want to listen to the Word of God, when they want to come in and have these malicious words, and this may sound strange to you, but I have seen people that have actually come into the Haltom City Church wanting to do such a thing, wanting to take members away for themselves, wanting to do something that divides a congregation, that puts them in charge. That's Diotrephes. And it happens today. And we watch out for that. We will not allow that here. We want people to grow up in grace and love and harmony. We want people to have a peaceful place that we can come and worship God, where we can grow, not have to worry about the tension of the world. That's out there. We have to deal with that Monday through Saturday. Let's not deal with it in the church either. Diotrephes was causing these tensions. I love this congregation because that tension is not here. But it is in other congregations. And even as visitors, you can feel it. Even as a visitor, when first time you walk in, you know something isn't right. People like Diotrephes are the ones that make it that way. He was slanderous and vindictive. If you would, turn with me to Luke 6. Verses 22 and 23. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, and they revile you, and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice, for in that day leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Isn't that some great company to be in? People will do this. People will say things about you, whether it's in the church, out of the church. It'll happen. And we have to be prepared for it. But Jesus said, when it does happen, be joyful. Again, something that you're not expected to do, right? Everybody wants an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You're going to say something bad about me, I'll say something bad about you. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek. People like Diotrephes need to be silenced. And the church needs to understand that. That church should have taken that man out. Just like the man that was sleeping with his his husband's wife in Corinth. That church should have taken him out and explained things to him and caused him to repent. But Paul had to write about it. Paul said, you're boasting with sin. You're prideful with sin. You're enjoying your sins. And it shouldn't be that way. Diotrephes was slanderous. If you would, look at Psalm chapter 50. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief and you consented with him, and have been a partaker with adulterers, you give your mouth to evil and your tongue to frank, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. And you, though you thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. God says he's not going to put up with it. He let some of these things go on, but he's going to give a reckoning for it. We're going to have to give an account for it. We talked in the class this morning about priesthood, how it has not always been righteous, how it has not always been together faithful to God's word. Well, here you got people here that are consorting with sinners, with adulterers, with all the kinds of worldly people, and they think it's okay. We can't do that. That makes us just like Diotrephes. That makes us sinful. We don't have to fellowship. Now, we may have to work with them and get along with them, but we teach them, whether it's by the word or whether it's by example, we teach them what is right. Then we have to turn around and not partake of their evil deeds. That's how we live in the world, but we're not of the world. Diotrephes was of the world. So we have two people we've talked about. Gaius, who John has said needs to be blessed, and Diotrephes, the man that would be preeminent, who would take charge where he's not supposed to take charge. We have one more person to look at this morning, and that's Demetrius, the man who would be a pattern. And this is something the world really does not like, because they don't want to believe that there is a pattern to follow. Turn back to 3 John with me, if you would. Demetrius had a good report from the brethren. Look at verse 12. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is truth. Everybody knows Demetrius is a good man. Everybody knows he is faithful. Everybody knows that he's a man to be looked up to. Now then, he says that the truth has a good witness with him as well. When you think about this, that your life is reflected in the truth, that people see the Word of God living in you, that this book means so much, that you have changed your life to conform to it. That tells us something about the nature of the man, the character of the man. He has conformed to the Word. Not trying to do it backward, make the Word conform to him. As Paul says, people will twist the Scriptures. They'll twist them to make them fit what they want. And that's where we all fall short. We have to conform to the Scripture. That's what Demetrius has. He's got a good report from the truth. Now, isn't that something you want inscribed on your tombstone? When somebody walks through and they're looking for their family's tombstone and they see yours, it says more than just he was just a Christian. I think some of the greatest words that can be said is he knew the Bible. He lived the Bible. Jesus was seen in him. Something to that effect. Let people know how important this is to you. Maybe they might think it's important to them. Or make it more important to them. Demetrius had a good report from the truth and from the apostles. The apostles are inspired. They've been with Jesus. They know what it is they're talking about. Peter said they've handled the word. Here they're saying that Demetrius is someone that we can follow, someone we can trust, someone that is willing to go the second mile. Again, isn't that what you want written on your tombstone? Isn't that how you want to be remembered? Isn't that what your family and friends want to be able to say about you? They're saying that about Demetrius. I want them to say that about us as well.